This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. If you're tuning in for Dan Lanning, we don't have him this week, but no. We have the next best thing.
We have the disembodied voice of Dan Lanning.
Yes. The next best thing.
Hot boy Dan Lanning.
Is Dan Lanning.
Yes.
To Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
So each week, his appearances here on The Fan brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas. First, he was on the coach's show last night.
Mm-hmm. I catch some of that when I drive home.
Because it's on right after us, on Wednesdays.
Yeah. On The Fan. The radio.
Right here on The Fan.
So he showed up in a hot boy shirt, and I'm going to let Buck describe what that looked like.
Yeah, you can find it on Twitter, but he shows up in a shirt that has the Oregon Duck mascot in like a Gucci tracksuit or Louis tracksuit or some kind of printed tracksuit, sunglasses, and is sitting under like a glittered out sign that says Hot Boys with a Z on the end. And so naturally, Jorgie and Jerry had to ask him about it.
Boy,
you can find it on, it's a great looking shirt.
Boy, do not. And I am telling you right now.
Oh, is that a bad search?
Do not go to Twitter.
What do you got?
And type in Dan Lanning Hot Boys. I'm not kidding.
What?
I'm not kidding. Okay. Don't.
Well, I did actually.
Camera, do not show. This is the second thing down. Like, No.
Get the camera off of that.
Yeah, don't.
Take that off your page.
No, that's.
Unless you like it.
No.
I'm okay with that.
No.
To each their own.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Boy, you type in Dan Lanning Hot Boys. That is not what I thought was popping up.
I don't see it here. Buckley.
Buck,
I saw it on Twitter last night. I'll figure out who had it.
Well, when I went over to Joey Harrington's house last weekend or last Friday, whatever.
Yeah.
He was wearing a Dan the Man shirt. Have you seen that?
I've seen plenty of those. When I went down to Ohio State, there were a lot of the Dan the Man shirts.
Yeah. And it's Dan Lanning. It's Dan Lanning's head with the headset, and it just says Dan the Man on it.
Yes.
And he has one of those.
Yeah. I'm still trying to recover from the Ryan Buckley-led search.
I still didn't even see the thing that you're talking about, so I don't know what it is you're talking
about. So I don't see the Hot Boy shirt, but I'm going to play this clip. They asked him about the shirt.
Dylan Gabriel just gave it to me. Our nickname for our wideouts are the Hot Boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dylan's hooked the guys up with some gear throughout, you know, Dime Time's kind of the theme. So this is the Dime Time World Tour Hot Boy shirt. Pretty cool.
Okay. The Hot Boys is the name of the
I wish receivers. I could direct you to the shirt because it is it's a great shirt.
Yeah, I can't find it.
I saw it last night on Twitter, and then I saw it because they live stream their show like we do. I saw it on YouTube as well.
My favorite Dan Lanning shirt is the one of him in a suit, you know, kind of cheekily smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just says program.
Yeah, I can see that.
P-R-O-G-R-U-M.
Yeah.
Underneath it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still, I can't, I'm terrified now to work any sort of Google search, but I've yet to see the Hot Boy shirt. I'm going to, you know what, at this point, I'm going to take your word that it's a cool shirt and
well, I've been saying this for much of the season. The Hot Boys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's the group that can win Oregon the title.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Well, it's what beat Ohio State.
They're awesome.
Ohio State said, we can stop you from running the ball, and we're going to play man coverage, and good luck beating us. And they cooked them. And it forced them out of that look.
I just don't know how teams cover all those guys. They're so good.
Yes. And unless you can get to Dylan Gabriel, yep. and Ohio State couldn't. Ohio State put some pressure on.
Michigan might be able to.
Yeah.
That's why this game could be close.
Yeah. Michigan is going to have a defense. This will be a much better defensive line than what they saw against Ohio State. It's just that we just don't think that Michigan can do anything offensively. But if Michigan can run the ball and control it, if this game is played in the teens or in the low 20s, yeah, this could be kind of a scary game because Michigan's defense could muck up what Oregon does. It's just they just have no offense to speak of.
All right. Do you want to hear about Michigan's quarterbacks?
Yeah, they all suck, but let's go.
Yeah, it's a real challenge, you know, with Warren and Orgy this week is they've figured out how to kind of use those guys in different ways. I think any time a team can run with the quarterback, it makes you use 11 guys to defend them, so that's always a challenge. But our guys have done a good job of prepping for that, so hopefully it shows up as well on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say that. But, I mean, when Orgy comes in the game, there's no threat of throwing the football. I mean, none. Think about this. When Michigan needed a touchdown to beat USC, there was like 2 minutes left and they had to go 80 plus yards. I've never seen this in the history of me watching football, minus like a service academy. And even then, Michigan didn't try to throw the ball.
No.
They were in a 2 minute drill and they were running.
Was that with Orgy?
That was with Orgy.
Yeah, because Warren can throw it a little bit.
Warren can throw.
Orgy can't.
He cannot. And Warren doesn't throw it well, but they will attempt to throw it. Orgy, It's not even a thought. So, you know, and when Orgy's in the game, my guess is it's nine guys near the line of scrimmage, man up on the outside, and then, you know, you got to cover Loveland. Their best offensive weapon besides running the ball is their tight end, who's really good. That would be more of the concern, is that when Michigan can throw a heavy look at you with two tight ends and two backs, and they do have two very big physical running backs, that's where a tight end like Loveland, who's one of the best in the country, he may be able to slip behind your linebackers. So I would be more concerned about him in the passing game than being able to get the ball out to the receivers because they just don't throw.
Status of Jordan Birch. A lot of people talking. Will he be back?
Yeah, he did some limited stuff for us, and at the end of practice next week, we'll continue to evaluate and see what's best for him, right? And in turn, what's best for our team.
Okay. There's yeah. your non-answer.
You had to ask.
Yeah. Well, he said next week. I think he misspoke there.
Yeah, well,
he did some limited stuff for us, and at the end of practice next week, we'll continue to evaluate and see what's best for him,
next
right?
Week?
And in turn, what's best week. For our team.
Yeah, or it was a Freudian slip that he won't be back until next week. Yeah.
Also possible.
By the way, I would just like to point out.
Point it out.
So
with your pointer.
So Alex Orgy and Davis Warren will be the quarterbacks. It sounds like Warren is going to be the starter. And then if you need a little change up, maybe some packages with Orgy. Davis Warren, who is the quarterback that throws the ball, he is completing 67% of his passes. He has 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions and a long completion of 33 yards. And I mentioned Colston Loveland is their best threat. He's their tight end. He has 42 catches. Their next best weapon, their two receivers, their two starting receivers have 20 and 9 catches, not 29, 20 and 9. Those are their grabs.
Well, look, we all know what they want to do and
yes.
what they value. So,
anyway, that's what you're dealing with. And Alex Orgy, would you care to guess what his average pass goes for?
Ooh, not even 6.
3.4. 3.4 yards per completion.
3 of those and you have a first down.
That's right. 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but through the air.
Here is Dan Lanning on Michigan's defense.
Certainly one of the most talented defenses we've gone against. Their front is really, really impressive. Got some, you know, great interior defensive linemen and edge rushers. Got dynamic players in the back end. So I think there's as much talent on this defense as any defense we've played this year. And they're aggressive by nature. You know, they do a lot of different pressures, and they make it challenging for you to prepare for.
And that is where, like, the offensive stuff, you're just blowing smoke. But the defense is good. They've got NFL guys. When you look at the two guys in the middle, Grant and Graham, you won't find two better defensive linemen you're going to play all year. Josiah Stewart is an absolute beast. They got dudes on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the front. You know, Will Johnson coming into the year was kind of viewed as the best corner in college football, and he's been a little up and down. I think with Michigan's defense, when you take a look at them, I think they get frustrated, and I think they have to take chances that they normally don't have to, because they know that if you just play good defense, it's not enough. They need to manufacture big plays on defense because their offense can do nothing. And I think it leads at time to a player like Will Johnson, who has made some big plays jumping routes. I think you can get him on some double moves. I think you can get him being over aggressive, but that side of the ball is legit studs, NFL dudes, all three levels. And it'll be interesting to see, because after those first 2 weeks, Oregon's offensive line, when they made the shift and they got Poncho in at center and they solidified the guards and the tackle started playing better, their O-line has been really good since that. And Gabriel has had all day. And even against Ohio State, they put some pressure, but they never really got to him. This will be a real test. I want to see how this O-line holds up in pass protection, because the guys they're facing, especially the interior guys, they will not have seen anything quite like this. And so it just going forward, when you start talking about, you know, potentially playing in the playoffs and the type of players you're playing against, this will be a nice little litmus test to see how far this O-line has come from weeks one and two to now.
Okay, we're into November. Well, we will be tomorrow. Dan Lanning's approach to the back end of the season.
We adapt a lot. I always want to be proactive and not reactive, so I generally put down my plans for the next week's practice before we play the game before, right? And the thought process being, I don't want this game to impact what my thoughts are going into the next game and what I think our prep should look like. So, you know, before we play Illinois, I wrote down, hey, here's the things I want to make sure we're able to accomplish for the Michigan game. And then you'll have some tweaks based on, hey, this was a strength, this was a weakness, what do we need to make sure we incorporate more in practice? You'll do that. But yeah, we always try to plan it out in advance, and really the season almost out in advance. When we get to this point in the season, we'd like to remove this period, add this period, whatever it might look like.
Well, it's kind of interesting. That's a little, you know, he doesn't give you a lot.
Yeah.
We don't get a ton of, like, behind the scenes insight, but yeah, for planning and stuff, that's cool.
Good little nugget.
Yeah.
We'll have to follow up on that.
Yeah.
Well, we can't now, because then he'll be like, well, I don't really talk about that.
It is true that even when he gives you a little something, that's it.
Well, so next week he'll be preparing for Wisconsin. Correct. So you can ask him if he's thought ahead 2 weeks past the bye to, what, Maryland?
I should ask him about the college football championship game.
Oh,
see what
he
says.
You said you guys planned for the whole year, right?
Yeah.
The whole season.
That'll
what
be a
you,
big
what
one.
What have you planned for the championship game?
Who do you think you're going to play, Coach?
Yeah, not certain.
Well, I think that's cool. Look, if there's one thing we know about him that I would love to peel back the layers of this onion way more, but he's just not going to do it. Yeah. Only the insiders know. He is as prepared and as thought out as any coach I've ever heard of.
Yes.
I mean, dude.
Yeah, he is.
He does not, there is not a stone unturned.
No, he is.
He is on top of it.
Well, yes. And that Ohio State play breaking the rules thing was the perfect microcosm. He just had, he's thought of an answer for every presentable scenario across the board.
Yeah, he's really organized too with it. It's just.
Well, it's his, he's just, it, and that's the sort of, like I said, the type A personality obsessive that especially in this day and age, you need to be a winner. And he certainly has it.
Well, very much a coordinator thing too, you know,
yes.
That. And now he's a head coach. It kind of, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. That was a dumb comment.
And someone did point out, and this is correct, and we don't know, Will Johnson, their best corner, he may not play.
His problem?
Well, he's got
a duck in Oregon?
He's got a leg. I don't remember if it's a leg or an ankle. He did not play.
Just one. He doesn't have two legs?
One got amputated, and we don't know. So he didn't play against Michigan State, and at the beginning of the week, Moore, the Michigan coach, said that it's not it's not like a long-term thing. He'll be out there, but we'll see how it goes this week. So whether he plays, he may not play in this one against Oregon. Shocking development of coaches being very non-committal, other than it's not season-ending. It's not something that's going to keep him out a month, but he may not go against Oregon. So something to keep an eye on. When they're out there, you will see number two out there
Derek Jeter.
Will Johnson, number two. So we'll see, game time decision. We'll see if he's out there warming up. And if not, that's a big advantage, because you would assume that playing those receivers, the hot boys, without your best corner, that's a big deal.
Well, now to the big stuff, Jace.
Yeah.
What is Dan Lanning's favorite Halloween costume?
We asked the tough questions, or in this case, Georgie asked the tough question.
My grandma actually made it for me. She made me a teenage mutant Ninja Turtles like outfit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Leonardo, sword, right? It's all about the weapons. Who had the coolest weapons? Raphael was cool, right? But you definitely aren't picking the guy with the staff. You're not, so it was definitely sword.
Yeah. There you go. What do you think of that?
I disagree.
That's a little, dates him, because the Mutant Ninja Turtles were after my time.
And that is exactly my wheelhouse, and we're almost exactly the same age.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was a big Leonardo guy, too.
I disagree.
Because of the sword?
Yeah, and he wore the blue headband. I like that one the best.
Well, he's claiming that the sword is the coolest, and that's just not, and maybe I'm showing my age. Because the coolest martial art weapon, and it's not even close, it's the nunchucks. Are you kidding me?
Was there one with nunchucks?
Yeah, Michelangelo had the nunchucks.
And now, he was the orange.
He was the goofy one who ate the pizza.
So maybe he can't go orange because of beaver colors. But, dude, if we're talking like I grew up at the peak of cheesy martial arts, and there was nothing that said 1980s like throwing stars and nunchucks. Now, they didn't use throwing stars. But nunchucks, come on. You're telling me that a samurai sword, a katana, was cooler than nunchucks? I'm calling him out on that.
Might do more damage.
I'll push back on that. Well, they didn't cut anyone with the sword. It was
Sounds like you know what you're talking to him about next Thursday.
Yeah, I'm pushing back. Now, I will say that the stupid staff, come on, Donatello.
Donatello was fourth by a wide margin. He was the White Sox of that
group.
Yeah,
that's dumb.
You got a wooden staff?
Yeah. And he was the nerd, too. He was like the scientist guy.
Get out.
So, Leonardo
had the sword. Michelangelo had the nunchucks.
Raphael had the scythe.
The scythe, the two little...
Oh, the scythe.
The little, like, dagger, kind of trident dagger things.
And then, Donatello had the stupid wooden staff.
Was there a female Mutant Ninja Turtle?
No, but there was April O'Neil, and she was the reporter.
Yeah, she was the news reporter who kind of helped keep him out of trouble. And then they had their sensei, Splinter the Rat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't know you guys knew so much about Ninja Turtles.
Oh, and they were going up against Shredder?
I played a lot of... I used to go to the arcades a lot and play like the Nickelcades, and one of the best games there was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Turtles in Time?
Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Buckley agrees.
Yeah.
Turtles in Time ruled.
All right, well, there is your non-Dan Lanning, Dan Lanning segment with Lanning Audio.
And Ninja Turtle Talk.
Tune in for Dan's interviews every Thursday at 4, brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas.
And then the best Ninja Turtle was still Shredder. Shredder was by far the coolest one.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, the evil villain?
The evil villain.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Well, he was the evil villain.
Okay, the villain he wasn't a ninja.
I would not side with him being the coolest.
He was by far the coolest. It's like Skeletor.
It's like saying Darth Vader's the coolest.
He was the coolest. He was the best part about those movies.
Hmm.
Shredder all day.
I don't feel like Buck agrees.
No.
And you guys should fight it out.
My grandparents took me to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2: Secret of the Ooze in the movie theater.
With Secret Vanilla of the Ice. Ooze?
Yeah, with Vanilla Ice in
I'm going to need you come back. I've talked about this
Go Ninja
times.
Go?
I'm going to need you to come back with the
I'm finding it.
Classic Go Ninja Go.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapped by Vanilla Ice in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Give me G.I. Joe all day.
G.I. Joe is pretty badass.
Over Ninja Turtles.
If we're going, because you said best Halloween costume, maybe the best Christmas present that I ever got was the G.I. Joe airplane. The F-14.
Badass.
With Sky Striker as the pilot. I always wanted the aircraft carrier, but it was like $400 and my parents would never buy it for me. But I did get the airplane. Ho, 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 ho. Dude, that thing was tease.
All right.
What are we doing? Why are we eating?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do next. I don't know.
Talk about G.I. Joe?
I don't know. See the NBA TV numbers?
No. Not good?
No one's watching.
Do they need more fights like the guy with the vacation house?
Yeah. They need something.
I'll tell you what, the NBA couldn't be further off my radar.
They need something.
I'd be more likely to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 right now than a random NBA game.
All right, well, we'll get to those numbers next on The Fan. So what are you listening to?
Vanilla Ice did a song for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie in the early 90s called The Ninja Rap, or Go Ninja Go.
Featured in the movie.
And he performed it in the movie at like an underground club where they were doing ninja.
Vanilla Ice is performing and the turtles break in through the wall to fight other mutant animals. And in the midst of it, Vanilla Ice is inspired and he starts rapping. Go Ninja Go.
Yeah, they're kicking ass in the middle of a Vanilla Ice show, basically, and then he just stops on a dime and starts the ninja rap.
That's awesome. Dude, is this some of his finest work?
It might be his
probably.
Work. Maybe his opus. A hell of a time.
Go Ninja Go, Ninja Go! So this was like peak Vanilla Ice, too.
Yes, right? This is when he was really
powerful. Yeah, the height of his powers.
And in a shocking development, this went off a cliff real, real fast after this.
You know what's weird to me is like how random kids kids toys are, I guess toys would be the right word.
Yeah.
You know, like, who thought of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? And how high were they?
I thought the same thing about, like, the Super Mario Brothers. They're plumbers, and they eat a mushroom, and they grow bigger, and then they have a flower, and they blow fireballs.
And why did they catch on? Like, what is it?
Why are the plumbers Italian? I don't...
Go look at Scooby-Doo sometime. I'm convinced that every childhood toy and cartoon was just a bunch of dudes sitting around, and they all got really high. And it came up with the dumbest thing ever. And as you said, kids are stupid. So they're like, all right,
well,
let's
I can
do this.
See the G.I. Joe's thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like,
oh, yeah, it's
I
an
get
army,
that.
You know,
yeah.
cops and robbers.
Kids love hero. That. Yeah. You know, you're playing off the little boy
sure.
truck thing.
Yeah. The Teenage but Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yep.
Well, I think it was playing off karate being a big deal, and, like, it kind of came right after Karate Kid.
Karate was a big deal.
So, like, it was right after Karate Kid, and then you had to, like, incorporate. I don't know, cool cartoony things like, oh, they got bad attitudes,
well,
they eat pizza, and they're teenagers.
Why are they turtles, and why do they wear headbands, and, like, why aren't they penguins?
Well, why are they turtles? I don't know, but Master
turtles.
Splinter, the rat, he found them when they were little babies, and he saved them, but because he was already a sensei of sorts, he raised them in the world of martial arts.
I tried to explain to my kids growing up what a big deal, like, ninjas were. They couldn't quite process it, but like when you were a kid, like people really thought that ninjas were real, and like this is like where like MMA came along and it destroyed like the entire, like, do you know how many like horse crap like karate dojos had to get shut down because people figured out that it like that stuff doesn't work? They're like, yeah, someone just came in and like tackled them and then beat the hell out of them on the ground. But growing up, like karate and ninjas and like all that was I was like, people thought that was like the most badass people on the planet. And then someone was like, yeah, that doesn't really work. I'm like, damn it.
What do you mean it doesn't work? Are you telling me the ninjas aren't real?
Yeah, it doesn't really
work. With the little stars?
Yeah.
I loved those.
Oh, yeah, throwing stars?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the late 80s, early 90s, they always showed up as henchmen in movies. Yeah. Like, they're just going to be around as part of like a bad guy's crew.
Do you know how many movies I have watched in the 80s? And as I've gotten older, that I go back and watch that involve some form of evil ninja, and then, you know, the good ninja is always white, because of course he is, and then he has to go to the Far East and fight the evil group of ninjas to rescue some sort of big-breasted blonde girl. And it's the basis of, like, my entire childhood movie collection.
Well, there you go.
Go, Ninja, go.
There's your Seggy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you TV numbers here. Mm. Thank you.
It's disappointing.
I'll do that later.
You should go look it up. There is a...
No.
I forget what this guy's name was.
Vanilla Ice.
This was like 10 years ago. There was a mixed...
Van Winkle.
There was a mixed martial artist, and he was... I forget... He was Asian. I forget whether he was South Korean or if he was Chinese. But he would go around to these legendary, like, dojos. Like, these guys that thought that they had, like, mystical powers. And he would just challenge them to fight. to fights, and he would film it like on his phone. And these people would come in because it didn't look like much. And, you know, you'd get some dude and he'd be wearing his little pajamas and he'd be getting ready to do the crane technique or whatever. And the dude would just shoot like double leg, like wrestling moves on people, take him to the ground and then just throw elbows. And he just destroyed like these legendary like karate masters. And people were like, oh, this is sad and depressing. And eventually everyone just had to stop letting him in their gym because he was like, yeah, none of this is real. He goes, I'm just going to do this one thing and none of you are going to be able to stop it. And the entire 80s like karate myth was destroyed by one dude like gym storming people.
Wow.
I'll do the death touch. Right. Yeah, I'm just going to kick you in the face.
Coming up next, it is time for In the News, big earthquake, a reminder that you should not dress as a Nazi for Halloween.
Yeah.
And we have racial abuse in the high school football ranks. That's next. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
That's right. It's exactly what this show is. Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan. That's what you have stumbled upon. Right now it is October 31st, 2024. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Hello. What if I end all of my statements with that type of inflection forevermore?
It would be...
Hello.
It'd be a lot. It'd be like doing a show with swag.
I think Oregon's going to win.
We think. Here's the situation.
It's brought to you by the
Hold
Advocates.
Hold on, everybody.
The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com.
It's over!
Today is Halloween.
Yeah, I forgot it was Halloween. I went to see my buddy at his office today, and people were dressed up, and I literally had a moment where I was like, what the hell? Oh, yeah.
It's Halloween.
I forgot about that.
It is also National Knock Knock Joke Day.
Oh, what do you got?
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Cow says.
Cow says, what is it? Cow says, what?
Oh, my God.
Knock, knock, who's there?
You are the worst knock, knock partner of all time.
I forgot how that went.
Say.
This is terrible.
Oh, my God.
This is terrible.
This is the worst.
I forgot how knock, knock jokes
You have to say who. Cow says who.
Oh, yeah. Cow says who.
Jesus.
Boy, when's the last time someone hit me with a knock, knock? I thought it was what. Cow says what? No, cow says who.
No, cow says moo.
Boy, it took us a while to get there.
God,
that did take a while.
We can't even do a knock-knock joke right.
When's the last time cows. Someone did a knock-knock joke on you?
I mean, kids.
Really?
Yeah.
No kids are walking
yes.
around. Buck, do you see your little man have a knock-knock joke?
His oh, he doesn't have a knock-knock joke.
They can't even talk.
I don't even remember. Can he?
I got a Halloween knock-knock joke.
Yeah?
Why didn't the skeleton cross the road?
That's not a knock-knock joke.
Oh, yeah, that's just a joke.
That's
Jesus,
joke.
What is happening?
Boy, this whole thing has gone into the side of the freaking
Okay, fine.
Mountain.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Don't cry. It's only a joke.
Yeah, that's always that one.
Suk was not impressed.
Yeah. I was like the interrupting cow one, you know.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow. Moo!
Yeah.
Is that what? Is that
the stole the punchline.
That's one.
Well...
It's been incredibly informative to our news listening audience.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that whole thing. I started that. That's my fault.
That was your fault. I can't believe you clammed up
I
on
did.
A knock knock.
I clammed up.
Cal says what?
I had a moment when you said that in my brain. I was like, wait, what? comes next? I'm like, do I repeat it? I literally completely choked. I pulled a Garrett Cole. I didn't run to first.
Yeah, says what?
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Oh, my God. All right, a Portland State University student wore an on-campus Halloween costume.
Right there, contest. That's all you need to know.
What do you think he wore?
And the moment you said that, I'm like, no, this doesn't end well. This is all bad.
Yeah, well, there was an on-campus Halloween costume contest on Sunday, and his costume prompted the university to refer this matter to the university bias team.
Yeah.
There's a bias team. A person claiming to be at the costume event at some hall on campus there said on Reddit that the student was wearing an armband with a swastika and a Ritterkreuz symbol, which is an iron cross that the Nazis conferred as military awards in World War II.
Yeah, don't do that. That's
you are not to do this.
No.
Have we not learned anything from Prince Harry? Oh,
my God.
Who did this years ago and was raked over the coals for it.
Nazi is not a costume in any shape or form. It just doesn't work.
You can't do that.
Blackface or being a Nazi,
case is being referred to the Office of Equity and Compliance's bias team for follow-up. A message was sent to residents in that hall where the costume guy was on Monday, offering support and sharing resources for any student who felt impacted by the incident.
Well, see,
are we getting a little...
Yeah, that's a little much.
Good grief.
Right? Really, you felt impacted? Okay. Yeah. The only impact you have is looking at that dude and being like, hey, dumbass. Like, what are you doing? But I'll tell you what.
They were hurting you so bad.
If you're impacted by some jackass kid dressing up like that to shock people, then you've got bigger problems.
How long would it take you and I... If we were professors, which we would never be, but if we were, how long would it take you and I to quit?
A week, maybe two.
Can you imagine dealing with college students on levels like that? What I mean?
It's unbelievable. Whoever comes and takes over our country deserves it, because we are just soft as baby dew at this point. It's just ridiculous. We've set up a task force for anyone that feels impacted by this. My God. Life is hard. Get a cup.
Resources.
Yeah, resources.
Gotta have resources.
Gotta have resources.
We had the third largest earthquake reported off the Oregon coast in the past 10 years.
Yeah,
it happened
yesterday
afternoon.
Yeah.
6.0 out there.
That's a decent little shaker right there.
It was 173 miles west of Bandon. But no tsunami.
Yeah, Gulf was not impacted, I hope.
Well, I mean, if you've been to Bandon, they're way up on the cliff. Like, you're not going to get
you get a big enough wave. But yeah, they said no tsunami or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't.
But if you're out there in your little rowboat, I'm guessing that didn't end well, You want to take a little poop in your, in your captain shorts. Be out there in your little dinghy and a 6 earthquake comes along. I'm guessing there's some good white caps out there.
The biggest earthquake that we've had in the last 10 years was August of 2019, 6.3.
What would it take to really,
Well, I think it depends on how deep down it is.
Yeah.
Doesn't that matter?
I would assume so. I just don't know. Like, a 6 seems to me, like, that seems a pretty good...
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, but, like, it's not...
But it's way out there.
Yeah.
So they said 75 people have reported that they felt this one.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Well, like, where would they be?
Because, like, there was, like, that one in Indonesia and the one in Japan. I mean, those were earthquakes off the coast, and that obviously caused some significant problems. As far as I know, I can't remember any that really impacted the coast that much.
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
That's, like, one of my great irrational fears, like, when I'm down at the coast. I do think about that sometimes. Like,
the tsunami? You just happen to be there when the tsunami rolls
in? Yeah, like, you're cruising along the beach, and, my dog's out there playing, everything's fine and dandy, and then because you see it, like, in movies, you look out in the distance, and you're like,
Well, it doesn't even have to be movies.
Yeah, in real life, you see, like, the Fukushima one, and you just look out there, and
that
you're like...
That stuff was brutal.
Yeah, you're like, that's, like, one of those weird fears I have.
If you... Okay, let's say you're on the beach. Yeah. You're at... let's say you're at Cannon Beach, okay? And you see it. The water recedes way out. You're like, oh my God. So everybody starts running. Do you think you live? Can you get to high enough ground there?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think I'd do the car thing and just start
I just floor it.
I don't think I would try.
Well, that's everybody else too. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's the one road out. I don't know, man.
See, I think there, if you're close enough to where the state park is up there, you know, like climbing north of town, you can get up pretty fast.
Unless it's the big one, you know. If it's the big one, it doesn't matter because all that stuff, the boats, the cars, everything just comes inland. And so it's not the water. Like, if you watch those ones like that happen over there, people think it's water that's getting, it's not. It's a wave of water carrying every single thing in its path. Do you get hit by a house? Like, you're like, oh, I'm on high ground. Until a house literally comes and hits you as it's being thrown by the water.
Knocks me off my surfboard.
Yeah,
riding the tsunami wave.
Yeah, it's like that one dumbass in Florida. It's like, I'm in a boat. What's the big deal? Boat rises, water rises.
By the way,
rises.
That turned out to be a hoax. Am I right about that?
Yeah, the guy was doing bits.
He was doing bits.
He was trying to get money.
And he wasn't out there for the hurricane. No. They pulled him in.
Yeah, he was trying to get money. And he did. He got, like,
he got money.
Yeah, he got a bunch of cash.
Because he went viral.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We have racial abuse in the high school football ranks.
Again?
Yeah. Yeah, this never ends.
No, it doesn't.
We will get to that next on The Fan. All right. Nice to have you along. This is In the News for October 31, 2024. That is Halloween. It's also National Knock Knock Joke Day, which...
we performed so well.
We should never go down that road again.
Never.
We botched
I think
it.
We're banned from ever doing another knock knock
yeah, joke. Dude, whoever the knock knock joke czar is should not hear that audio.
No. I'm just going to start my 12-part apology right now to anyone that was forced to. Like, what if some kid, what if that was their first opportunity to hear a knock knock joke?
Yeah.
Like, the dad's
we
like,
really
oh,
failed the
hey,
kids.
Wait for this. These were big when we were kids, and then that's what they got.
An investigation is underway after racial slurs were allegedly thrown around by players and a referee during a high school football game.
The ref was involved as well.
In? You have any guesses? It's in Oregon.
It's in Oregon, obviously. I'm going to go with, let's go with Banks.
Tillamook, Oregon.
Tillamook.
Tillamook. Tillamook for the loss.
That's for the
in this instance.
Is that how the ref was involved in the racial slurs too?
Yeah.
Like, what?
During a
like
game,
the players were having so much fun with it. He's like, "Hey, I'll throw one of these out there."
During a game at Tillamook High School on Friday, Milwaukee High School reportedly accused Tillamook players and a referee of using racial slurs during the game. An incident that forced the match to be canceled at halftime.
By the way, it's not a match.
I know. Why did they write that
match.
Way?
What?
That's from KATU.
What, a big football match? Huh?
Maybe they're European.
It's not the way that works. So
during the final play of the game, Milwaukee players had possession of the ball at the 35-yard line. As they tried to advance, the game came to an abrupt halt. Moments later, officials gathered on the far side of the field, but Milwaukee did not return to the game, and a flag was thrown to signal a delay. Tillamook coaches attempted to find out what happened before officials left the field. Families of students attending Tillamook High were sent a letter with the following message. Quote, last night, a varsity football game ended prematurely due to allegations of unsportsmanlike conduct and the use of racial epithets.
Mm. Yeah.
End quote. While some of the details surrounding the nature of the event and the involvement of athletes, coaches, and officials are still unclear, we are committed to launching an investigation to resolve this matter.
Keeping it classy. Way to go, high school sports.
Yeah, no kidding. This comes on the heels of the David Douglas investigation after an athlete reported hearing the N-word used on the field. They were unable to determine in their investigation where that language originated.
Now, to be fair, I often heard the N-word on the football field. It's usually coming from other African-American players at other people, but... yeah, and occasionally it goes the other way, too, and it gets real uncomfortable real, real fast. We're like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of the coaches out there are saying this is not, this is nothing new.
Yeah.
It actually happens quite often.
Yeah.
And the latest is Tillamook.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you that I never heard that, but I heard a lot of it. In fact, I told the story where the referee crew threatened us to shut down the game. It was between us and Mississippi State. It got bad. It was both sides. It was not. It was bad, and we were we got the sideline warnings.
And finally, Jace, a week after Washington reported human cases of bird flu in its state, officials have announced that three of those cases had traveled to Oregon during their infection.
No.
sons of bitches.
But no one really got sick.
Well, they were sick.
Well, but not really. I mean...
What do you mean, not really? Well, they were sick. They had the bird flu.
Yes, but they were sick for like a couple days and then they were fine.
Well, yeah, but they had it.
Well, I understand that.
What are you saying? Fake news?
Is it a big deal if someone gets the bird flu and they've got the sniffles for a few days and then they're fine?
Oh, I'm hurt.
Wouldn't it only be a thing if you had to go to the hospital? Like, if I catch, I don't know, if I catch...
The flu.
And
what if it's the bird flu?
And I'm sick for 3 or 4 days. It's not a story. If I catch the armadillo flu and it kills me, wouldn't that be a story?
So you're saying that if you get the flu and you just get sick for a couple days,
yeah,
that's not a story. If you get the bird flu and you just get sick for a couple of days,
why is that?
That's
a story?
Also not a story.
Well, yeah, why?
But if you get the bird flu and get hospitalized and die a slow, painful bird flu death,
yeah,
then that's the story.
I would assume. Are we now doing stories just about someone that may or may not have gotten very sick?
Yeah, it's sensationalized.
Seems a bit much.
Journalism. You know, because they're playing off the whole COVID fears.
Exactly.
And birth. Yeah. And then, you know.
So, hey, what happened?
So they killed all the birds, basically. So
it's like, hey, what happened? I caught the flu. And everyone's like, eh, I caught the avian flu. Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
Hurting you so bad. Oh no.
Birds. Like, what if I caught the snake flu now? Like,
is there?
Oh.
Do snakes get the flu?
I don't want the snake. Which would you rather have, bird flu, snake flu? I don't want the snake flu. Kind of scared. What about the clown flu? I don't want that either. Just coming up with stuff now to scare us.
At this time, the risk for the general public remains low. People who have had close or prolonged unprotected exposures to infected birds or other animals, or to environments contaminated by infected birds or other animals, are at increased risk of infection. Thanks, Tips. This story says nothing.
Yeah, it's just that...
Three people... So wait, they traveled... What? I don't even... You know what? You're right. This isn't a story.
We should go back to knock-knock jokes.
A couple people got the flu.
Three. And they traveled to Oregon to spread it.
On purpose.
To unsuspecting Oregonians.
Diabolical. Where's RFK when I need him? Da.
All right, well, that's a dud.
Yeah, but, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going
to
do?
Bird flu, man. Time to hit the panic.
There's your In the News.
What would you say you do here?
For Halloween.
We report on the bird flu.
It's brought to you by the Advocates, injuryattorneys@advocateslaw.com. Let's move on to hot sports news. Hey, our friend Bob Costas is in the news today.
Yeah, yeah. Some people finally got their wish.
And, got some football stuff. Thursday night football.
Mm-hmm.
Does that interest you?
I got
more Jets.
I got it pulled up, but the Jets in black uniforms.
Can I say something? I want to say something live on the radio.
Yeah, go for it.
I hate it when teams go all black.
Yeah, you're not a fan.
It pisses me off.
Rob's more of a white guy.
You know what? Yeah, you would think this opinion would be coming from you.
It's not. It's coming from you.
The only if I am going to nitpick the Oregon win over Ohio State, that was like the perfect night.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
The only way I can nitpick it is Oregon wasn't in its traditional green and yellow.
Yeah, they wore the black.
They wore the all blacks.
You're not a fan.
Somebody else did that the other night. Oh, it was the A&M game. A&M playing LSU.
A&M went all black.
I hate that. Like, I don't even know who this team is.
Tennessee's going all black for Halloween this week.
And did you see the Oklahoma State uniforms this week?
Yeah,
they're going all black.
They did the Halloween throwback.
It's going till it's like the Oklahoma Association, but they're wearing like these candy stripe things.
Again,
it's
for
weird.
Halloween. They're doing some Halloween bits.
Look, I get it, and I'm okay with alternative uniforms and everything. But what bothers me is when a team is wearing a uniform that looks nothing like who they normally are. So you don't. I mean, you know who they are because where they're playing and everything.
It's a little weird.
But it's just odd. It's like that. Like if you just took them out of that field and said, "Who is this team?" You would have no idea.
You know what's weirder is the Jets are favored in this game.
Yeah, I know. We talk about that off the air. Yeah,
2-6 Jets.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One of those football teams is good and one of them's bad. I'm backing the good one.
Yeah.
It's a very public play, they're
saying. It's a very public play.
Houston tonight.
It's extremely square of me.
It should scare you because
Vegas is begging you.
Yeah, the odds makers are saying.
Well, they begged me last week, and I took the Jets in this situation, and they got smoked by the Steelers. So, fool me once, shame on me.
There is a reason why the Jets are favored.
Okay, well, what was the reason last week when they lost by 20 to the Steelers?
It's a good point.
It's the exact same spot.
Buckley's better.
No, I'm not bitter.
You're bitter.
I'm just not willing to back the Jets.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.